All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman, joined by my co-host, Alan Sterk. And today we are going to get into the 2005 Falcons season on the Falcons Historian Shootout. But we're also going to talk about that season as well as Falcons current center, Alex Mack.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years. I'm on Twitter at FalFans, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's Locked On Falcons podcast is, of course, brought to you by Built Bar. And you guys can save $10 off your first box when you purchase at BuiltBar.com by using the promo code Locked On. Okay, Alan. We are back for another episode of the Falcons Historian Shootout. If you guys missed episode one on yesterday's podcast between Jay Adams and Gina Thomas, we quizzed them each on five trivia questions on the 2015 season. Later in today's episode, we will be quizzing the likes of Will McFadden of AtlantaFalcons.com and Corey Woodruff of The Falcoholic on the 2005 season. We will also get in later into share our thoughts, memories, and takeaways from that 2005 season. But we wanted to start the show by talking a little bit about some current ongoing things with the Falcons in 2020. And that, of course, is sort of the conversation around center Alex Mack and whether or not 2020 could be his last year and sort of the things that he's doing to help bring along some of the young players like a Matt Hennessy, who we just did a scouting report on this Locked On Falcons podcast earlier this week as well. So, Alan, I will give you the floor. I'm done talking now.
One quick question. Is this the final year on Alex Mack's contract?
It is.
It'll be interesting, just the layout of that, because I do think over the past years, his play has dipped a bit. I don't see him making the same amount of impact blocks in the running game, when it comes to those trademark second level blocks. And there are times where he gets overpowered in pass protection. I forgot what interior attack on the Saints. I don't think it was Sheldon Rankins. Maybe it was Onyemata, but there were times where I remember him getting floored. Maybe it was that Thanksgiving game. It's just, there was times where you didn't see the same Alex Mack. So that's why I could kind of see why there are retirement rumors, why you could say it, because the injuries have caught up and he doesn't have the same athletic abilities that he's had in the past. So I don't think it's a surprise. I know there were some people saying, man, already, but when you think about it, he's getting up there in age. So as great as he's been, I do think it was wise for the Falcons to draft Matt Hennessy and start preparing for a future without Alex.
Well, I think the thing about Alex Mack is, I don't know how much he's diminished, because I wonder how much of his struggles last year were due to the elbow injury that he suffered pretty early in the season. I think it was week two or week three where he first injured that elbow, and it seemed like the next six or so games he was struggling a lot more and giving up a lot more pressure, and you saw him missing more blocks. And then in the second half of the season, I think once the bye week hit, I think we saw a little bit more of the return to form. So I do wonder if the dip in play last year was a lot to do with the injury. And then you couple that with the fact that the Falcons kind of went away from their outside zone blocking scheme and were more of an inside zone blocking scheme, which doesn't allow, I don't think really allows Alex Mack to be sort of featured in the way that he had been featured and had a lot of success in previous years in that outside zone scheme. Where, he's out there just basically destroying linebackers like a heat-seeking missile, and you don't get as much of that with the inside zone. It's a lot more sort of combo blocks and whatnot. So I'm not ready to sort of close the door on Alex Mack having a little bit of a resurgence and a bounce-back year, because I don't know if the Falcons go back to more outside zone, and if he's healthier, then I think he could actually be pretty good this year and may not look like he's ready to hang it up, but we'll sort of have to see.
You don't think he's dipped a little bit in terms of, obviously with age, you lose some of your speed and agility. You don't think he's lost a little bit though?
No. I think I'm not arguing that he's still in his prime or anything like that. I'm just saying I don't know if the drop off that we saw last year was age related and more just scheme and injury related. But the age thing factors in with the injuries, because your body tends to struggle to recover from the nicks and bruises that you get. But like that elbow injury to me was kind of not necessarily something that you just say, oh, well, he got old and he hurt his elbow. It was more like a fluky type of injury, like you would do, like, you know, twisting your ankle or something like that. So I don't know. I'm curious to sort of see what Alex Mack shows up, because there's been a couple of times in previous years where he kind of started out the season or in the preseason kind of struggling a little bit, and then he eventually found his footing and sort of looked similar, maybe not the exact same as sort of the Alex Mack that we've seen the last couple of years that it's been, you know, a multi-time Pro Bowler. So I'm not ready to quite close the door yet on him until we actually hopefully see him on the field later this year.
I think it was maybe against the Titans. I posted a GIF of him pretty much allowing either pressure or sack. And I remember D-Led, I don't know how he found it because he doesn't follow me, but D-Led found it and he just like retweeted and posts, he's playing with one arm. I was like, you know, he's the D-Led, he's speaking facts. He said, the mastermind himself.
Oh, man. I didn't miss the D-Led commentary on Lockdown Falcons. Yeah. Any other thoughts on Alex Mack before we move on to this 05 season?
I just want to mention, because I think his name's been, you look at whether it's Jason Butter, Von McClure, they've mentioned Alex Mack a bit this week or so between that and, you know, him taking more of a leadership role with guys like Chris Lindstrom and Kel McGarry doing Zoom meetings and just trying to get everyone on the same page when it comes to assignments. So, now look, Alex Mack, he's a terrific pro. He's very well respected and expect him to continue playing at a top tier level. I think when Travis Frederick's retired now, so it's pretty much what him and Jason Kelsey as like the top tier centers in the NFC.
That seems accurate. And on the note of accuracy, we'll find out just how accurate Corey Woodruff and Will McFadden are when it comes to their knowledge of the Falcons 2005 season, which we will be discussing coming up on today's Locked On Falcons. But before we get there, I want to take a moment to tell you about our sponsor, Built Bar. There are a lot of reasons why you'd want to start eating protein bars if you already aren't, whether it's because you're trying to bulk up, whether you're trying to slim down, whether you're trying to maintain, or you're just looking for healthier alternatives to the food and protein bars that you already eat. And for those of you that fit into that latter category, I can tell you some of the reasons why you should switch to Built Bar. First of all, they taste good. That's first and foremost. All Built Bars have 100% real chocolate in them. They taste just like a candy bar. But you're thinking, well, that can't be particularly healthy, Aaron, if that's true. But my friends, I have more. Some of the leading protein bars out there on the market will give you 7 times the carbs, 7 times the sugar, and twice the calories of a Built Bar. And with Built Bar, you're getting 4 times as much protein as some of those leading contenders. And let me remind you that Built Bars taste great. Peanut butter, coconut almond are my 2 favorite flavors, but maybe you're into banana chocolate cream, maybe black cherry or salted caramel. Go try them all with a mixed box of 15 flavors that you can save $10 off with the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to save $10 off your first box at BuiltBar.com. So we will be featuring the historian shootout between Will McFadden and Corey Woodruff talking about the 2005 season. We'll be peppering both of those guys with 5 questions each about obscure trivia questions about that 05 season. But to get you guys geared up, to refresh some of your memories before we get there, you know, let's talk a little bit about some of our memories from that 05 season. And, you know, I'm not going to make the obvious joke that I normally would make. Alan was, you know, X age in that 05 season, but he was definitely a young pup. And, you know, were you, you know, do you have memories of that 05 season?
I was in 7th grade. So coming off is obviously the 2004 season, which made the NFC Championship game. There are high expectations. The great D'Angelo Hall, who I always defend for life. This is his first season as a full starter, because I think in 2004 he was injured and then he was being brought along slowly. So I was excited about that. And there's just so much expectations. I remember that first game, Falcons-Eagles, Monday night rematch. And even though the Falcons barely won, I felt like, you know, just from the game, they kind of outplayed Philly. Like Hall and T.O. were just going at it. Like, it was a real battle. And it was just kind of like set the tone where it's like, okay, Falcons should be a contender. And eventually, kind of like what it was, in 2006, they got to a really strong start. I remember they beat the Jets on Monday night, which is big because a lot of my friends are Jet fans, And I remember I was playing for my CBO basketball team and we had practice Monday night. I didn't go. I was like, I'm watching the game. And my mom's like, fine, do what you want. And like, everyone's so pissed at me. Like, look, Falcons over everything. Cause I was just such a fanboy at the time. But I think as the season went on, you kind of saw, and it was hard to find clips. So I had to rely on a lot of like highlights just looking back on the season. It just seemed like Vic was very careless. He had 11 fumbles on the year. Like just watching highlights, just some moments, I was like, get the ball away or just take the sack. I think he was trying to do too much. You saw on the stat line, you saw it in a couple of games. And then by the end of that season, they just completely faltered. That Christmas Eve game against Tampa Bay, I'll never forget. So this was, I remember it was Christmas Eve and usually church is at like around 5 o'clock. And I remember having to leave right when overtime started. It was like 4:15 and I had to leave. And this was right before the kickoff. And I remember getting out of church. This is back in 2005, so maybe like Nextel was the main phone. I remember asking my cousin, let me go on NFL.com. I was like, I don't know what happened. There was no, I'm not sure what was going on. I was like, if they lose, they're out of the playoffs. And I just remember seeing the phone. It was like 27-24 overtime, Falcons lose. And I was just devastated. I was like, this is the worst Christmas ever. And from then on, yeah, it was a pretty down season. And eventually it was the beginning of the end for Jim Moore Jr.
Yeah, I have a handful of memories from this season. Not too many. You know, I was 22 at this time. I just graduated from college. I was living at home with my parents. Again, we got Sunday Ticket for the first time that year. And that was really, this was the first season where I actually got to watch like more than a handful of Falcon games. You know, for those of you that don't know, I grew up in Virginia, went to school in Pittsburgh. So I was living in Virginia at the time. So, you know, the Falcons weren't the local team there. The Redskins were. So I wouldn't get the, growing up, I didn't get the opportunity to see them every single week. And so when we got Sunday Ticket, this was the first season. But to be honest with you, I don't have like too many specific memories. Like I went to the Falcons Patriots game in which Matt Schaub started in injury replacement for Michael Vick. And I remember because Vic was hurt the previous week and they didn't know if he was going to play. And then we found out that Sunday morning, me and my dad went. And this was like the second time I had been to the Georgia Dome at that point. And we were disappointed that we were not going to be able to get to see Michael Vick live. Later, we get to see him live the following year. But, you know, Schaub balled in that game. And I remember that game specifically because it was sort of a coming out party for Matt Schaub. I remember being a Tom Brady hater at that point and be like, oh man, the Patriots aren't that good. Tom Brady's a game manager. They're only good because of their defense, blah, 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 blah. And Brady made some throws in that game and he made, you know, Jason Webster and Allen Robinson look pretty bad. Allen Robinson basically pulled a Nickell Robey Coleman at the end of the game that set up what was eventually the go ahead, touchdown or field goal. I think it was a field goal that the Patriots, wound up winning on. And they did not, you know, they did throw the flag on that play because he basically wrecked, I can't remember, David Givens or Deion Branch or whoever it was. But I remember that game distinctly because, you know, the Falcons got gashed. Ed Hartwell got exposed a couple of times in coverage. Ike Reese got exposed.
Webster. Ike Reese.
And I remember there was a play early in the game where Daniel Graham took a tight end screen, 45 yards for a touchdown. And I was just like, how do you let Daniel Graham score a 45 yard, like he was just trucking dudes. Like it was just like, it was so bad. And I just remember being so angry, but like Shaw played well, work done played well. You know, it was one of those very good games. Other than that, like my 05 memories, I remember Roddy White being down on that draft pick. Cause like we just took Michael Jenkins. Why are we taking another wide receiver? Roddy did not do anything that rookie season. I'm trying to think other specific memories like the Sam Kong battle game.
Biggest analogy. We got Sam Kong Gatto. That's a whole nother conversation.
I just remember like the Sam Kong Gatto game came during that. It was a 4-game stretch in the middle of the season where Vic looked like a really efficient quarterback and was like completing like 60-something% of his passes for like the first time and throwing
that Miami
a bunch of touchdowns and no interceptions. And the Falcons went like 2-2 in that game. And it was kind of like, oh, well, the Falcons can't win if they don't let Vic be him. And it was just like, well, the Falcons were losing these games because of their defense, not because Vic was being, you know, like I think they were averaging like 20 something 20-plus points in those games. So it wasn't like their offense was really, really struggling in those games with Vic being this efficient passer. And I just remember, like, after that point, it was just kind of like there was the beginning of the end for Vic, because they – that was, like, the beginning of their slide once they started the season strong, like a 6-2 or whatever. And then it was just kind of the end. And I remember vividly, like – we got to the week 17 game and Vic kind of, the Falcons were eliminated from the playoffs. And like, it was very clear that Vic had like no effort in that week 17 game against Carolina. They got kind of, you know, the doors blown off of him in that game. And he would do that again in 06. And it was just a lot of mixed feelings about Vic at that time, but I was still a big Vic stan at that point in time. So it was sort of things that at the time I overlooked, but in retrospect, you kind of look back and you're like, oh, there were some warning signs there. But
he admitted that practice, the whole week, he didn't care at all. Like, I remember the Players Tribute piece said, yeah, they lost, I think, 44-11 in Carolina.
Yeah, something
and
like that.
Like, yeah, he checked out. So, yeah, stuff like that you definitely don't want to hear from your franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
What was your best memory from this year?
I mean, because I only really remember that Patriots game, like, that's the Matt Schaub throwing dimes.
Did Algie Crumpler do much? We got to mention Algie.
I think Algie had like a 100-yard game in that game. I know Finneran had a big bomb in that game that he had 100 yards, but I think Algie also was very productive, but I don't remember specific Algie moments in that game, but I recall him being good in that game.
For me, it's, I guess, the Eagles one. I could go with the Jets because I'm petty, but I'll go with the Eagles one just because I just kind of like that 2015 season. I thought it just gave me a lot of high expectations going after one. I just really respect the Eagles as an organization. You know, coming off the NFC Championship, where, you know, McNabb and Owens were coming out for vengeance because losing the Super Bowl and all the stories about McNabb puking and everything. So you just knew going to primetime game in the Georgia Dome, they were going to bring in for the Falcons to win that game. And I think we have to mention, wasn't there a brawl between Jeremiah Trotter and Kevin Mathis before the game?
That sounds familiar, but I don't remember specifically.
I think both of them got ejected. I remember there was a fight before the game, so that even got me more amped up because it was on ABC at the time.
Yeah, that sounds right. I'm gonna say yes, because that is jogging like a deep, 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 deep memory for me.
You know, Kevin Mathis always throws those bones.
Kevin Mathis, yeah.
Worst moment.
Sam Congato, man. I mean, that was the worst. Like, the Packers were terrible. They were like 2-8 or something ridiculous. They were terrible. They had this fifth string running back that they had just signed off the practice squad, and he just wrecked the Falcons, and it was terrible. Vic played great that game, and it was just the worst thing ever. I just remember being, because I remember talking so much trash on the FalcFans.com message boards that week. Like, if they don't beat the Packers, you know, I'm going to shut down the web, or some ridiculous claim that I basically could not follow through on because it was so ridiculous that the Falcons lost to stinking Sam Congato, man. It was the worst.
So mad. I'm going with something different. I'm going with the loss to Chicago because that was a primetime game.
Yes.
And I never seen a team look more hopeless. If the Bears had a semi-professional quarterback playing, they would have probably won that game 34-3. But thanks to Kyle Orton being just dreadful, the game was somewhat competitive. But that team just looked beyond defeated. They couldn't do anything. Nobody could separate. It was like, obviously, Soldier Field in December was a nightmare. But they just looked so hopeless. And I remember that game goes on. I actually didn't get to watch that Packers game live because this is 05. And I didn't really have a ticket. But I just remember that Prime game vividly. I just threw my hands there like, had his teammate the NFC Championships year before? Like 12-year-old me in my pajamas, like, what is going on?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going off that just off pure memory, just being so let down because it was like a big matchup. I remember they were hyping up Vic against that same Bears defense because that was the year they really took over.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And they had some success against Vic. I don't know if it was his rookie year, but I remember one game he started against the Bears either in like 01 or 02. And they kind of shut him down when he was sort of first emerging. And so it was a question of, like, did the Bears with Urlacher and Lance Briggs and all those guys, did they have, like, I think Spice Adams was on those teams too. But, like, yeah, I think did they have like the formula to shut down Vic? And I do remember that game because like they kept showing Vic on the sideline in like a hoodie and whatever, like a parka or whatever, just miserable and cold because it was like ridiculously cold that day in Chicago or whatever the case may be. And
it was night.
Yeah.
There was no Lambeau Field magic in this
one. No.
Yeah, 2005, kind of a downer, but not as bad as some other seasons we'll be talking about in the future.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, Matt Schaub's still here, so, you know, there is still hope for the future. All right, on that note, we will, that positive note, we will sort of move on and get into the Falcons historian shootout with Will McFadden and Corey Woodruff coming up on today's episode. But I want to let you guys know that you should be subscribed to the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on your favorite podcast platform, whether that be Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. All right, we're back for another round of the Falcons historian shootout, where I am, of course, your host, Aaron Freeman, joined by my co-host, Alan Sterk. And of course, we have a couple of brand new contestants that are going to duke it out over the Falcons 2005 season to see who knows the most, or at least who can answer Alan and my's obscure trivia questions from that season. Of course, we have Will McFadden currently at the Atlanta Falcons official website. We have him going up against Corey Woodruff. You know him from The Falcoholic. Welcome to the show, guys.
What's up? Thanks for having
me. Hey, what's going on? Thank you.
Before we start this up, I want to give you guys the floor just to talk about briefly the 2005 season. Where were you guys at your lives? Because I think both of you were pretty young at the time. Like, what do you recall of that season before doing like prior research? Will, you could start up.
Oh boy. So I was 12 at this point. There you go. I know. So my family had season tickets. I'm sure, I don't know if this will be a question or not, but this was the Matt Schaub breakout season. I was at that game against the Patriots when he went toe to toe against Tom Brady and showed everybody that he could be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Distinctly remember that game. Yeah, I mean, coming off of the 2004 season, definitely a lot of high hopes. It didn't turn out the way that we obviously wanted it to, but it was, I mean, I really loved those years. That was really kind of what made me a Falcons fan, was kind of growing up during that Vic era. And, you know, I owned a pair of the Michael Vick shoes when they came out and all that stuff. So that's kind of my history with the team in 2005. I was just a kind of an elementary school kid who enjoyed Falcons football.
How about you, Corey?
Well, mine's kind of the opposite, because like in 2004, it was right when I was first kind of getting into the Falcons, I guess. I guess like a lot of people when Vic was in his heyday, I don't know if I've ever, I think I've told this on this podcast before a long time ago, but I got into being a Falcons fan because I went to Sears when I was in middle school and I had to have a football shirt for some sort of a class event. And everyone in Tennessee are Titans fans, of course, and the Falcons shirt was cheaper. So I ended up getting the Falcons shirt, and it has spawned a 15-year bizarre relationship.
It's amazing.
Yeah, literally. The only reason I'm even here is because Sears pricing on football shirts. But I didn't watch any of the 2005 season. I was still kind of like straddling between being a middle schooler who like says he liked the Falcons, but then, you know, cheer for the Falcons or for the Titans when they were good in town. I was a Colts fan randomly in 2006. So, because I liked Peyton Manning, it was Tennessee and all that. So, you know, that was kind of before my time of being a religious follower of the Falcons, but I'm hoping all of my studying will pay off.
Oh man, I feel terrible. You got like the worst draw possible.
No, I feel like all the pressure's on me now. I was at those games. If I lose this to somebody who didn't say it, like, how am I going to feel?
True. Corey, I love the fact that, you know, basically you have subjected yourself to years of emotional turmoil and misery at the hands of the Falcons just because you wanted to save a couple of dollars, you know,
yeah,
15 years ago. That's crazy to me.
You could have picked the Jaguars, though.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I guess of teams that you could have chosen, the Falcons are not exactly the worst option that you could have picked at that time.
Well, the thing is, all my Titans friends get upset when I tell them that, because I picked the Falcons, I've had at least a team that's been relevant for the last 10 years, 10, 15 years. I mean, the Titans have just been miserable for so long, but they got a lot of jabs at me last year when the Titans were doing good, though.
So, Alan, you know, do you want to explain the rules for anybody who's tuning in for the first time?
So we have five questions for both Will and Corey. If it's tied up at the end, we do have a tiebreaker. But for the most part, it's just five questions about 2005 season specifically. We got a couple of, you know, players and also maybe things involving like winning streaks or losing streaks. It's pretty much all about the 2005 season. We're keeping it as direct as possible.
So, Alan, who do you want to start with first?
Let's start with Will, because Will is the favorite, and I definitely want to see what he's got. I think he's one of the favorites in the tournament in general, so I'm excited about this. So, Will, first question. I want to emphasize, which Falcons wide receiver had the most catches?
So are we sticking strictly with
wide? I'm emphasizing wide receiver, yeah.
Emphasizing wide receiver.
Yeah, we know there's one certain very good player, but I think it's pretty obvious, so stick to the receivers.
I'm going to say Brian Finneran.
That's correct. Well done. Second question. Who tied D'Angelo Hall for the most pass breakups on the team with 10?
Most pass breakups. I know D'Angelo led the team in interceptions. Actually, it's Keith Brooking.
Oh, damn. I did. Well done. Two for two.
He was weirdly not a bad coverage linebacker early in his career. I know the 2008 game against Arizona, like,
oof.
Everybody thinks that he was just like the worst coverage linebacker ever. He wasn't so bad back when the league was, you know, not as pass happy as it is now.
Yeah. Another thing I give you credit for is that, you know, you would assume maybe a corner is safety, but they go for a linebacker.
Yeah, well, I mean, you'd think maybe Jason Webster or somebody like that, but that one I remember just from my studying. It took me a second. I'm not going to proclaim that I knew it at the moment, but.
Mm-hmm. Michael Vick only threw for over 300 yards in one game. Can you name the opponent?
300 yards in one game.
He only did it once in 2005.
Yeah, it wasn't a good year for Vic. Was it against Tampa?
You're correct. It was a home game against Tampa.
I was just going to guess a division game because I feel like I had like a two chance of getting. That was a guess.
Right. Question four. So this was right before halftime. The Falcons blocked a field goal against the Saints and took it back for a touchdown. Who was the defensive player who scored the touchdown?
He scored the touchdown.
So they beat the Saints. It was right before halftime. Blocked field goal. Took it back.
Yeah. Was it DeMario Williams?
That is correct. Oh, my God. Yes. Can he go 5-for-5? Let's end it here. There was offensive lineman on the practice squad that ended up developing into a starter. Can you name that player?
I assume it's one of the three seventh-rounders that they had on their offensive line that year. Was it – it's between one or two, and I'm going to get it wrong, and I'm going to be mad. Todd McClure.
No, Tyson Klebo.
Oh, okay.
Man, Todd McClure has been in the league since 2002.
I mean, actually, Tyson Klebo wasn't even one.
Who was
one
the
ones that I was thinking of? It was between him or Keenan Forney for me.
Oh, okay. I thought for some reason maybe Harvey Dahl.
Mm.
4-5. For you guys who don't know, Gina and Jay, the score was 1-0. So this is – Will's already far surpassed them. So
Corey,
you got your work cut out for you.
You definitely got your work cut out for you. And, Corey, I will be asking you the questions, and I will say that they should start out easy and get progressively worse – or harder, right. I should say. So the pressure's definitely on you to come out hot. Okay, first question. Hailing from the same school as former Falcons Tony Moyaki, Adrian Claiborne, and Tim Dwight, he was the Falcons' second-round pick in 2005.
That would be Jonathan Babineau.
Correct. Excellent. I'm glad we got a Babineau answer correct on this podcast.
You know how happy that Aaron is right now?
For anybody who's on the future episode, just know that there's a very high probability that Jonathan Babineau will be one of the answers to at least one of the 10 questions that Alan and I are asking. All right, second question. The Falcons played one overtime game in 2005 in which kicker Matt Bryant hit the game-winning field goal in overtime. Who was the opponent?
That would be the Bucks.
That is correct. All right, 2-for-2. All right, now we're getting into the territory where things might get a little bit tougher, but we'll see about this third question. Matt Schaub made a single start as an injury replacement for Michael Vick in 2005. Against which team did he make that start?
Oh, geez. I saw this. I want to say it was the Saints.
I'm sorry, Corey. That is incorrect. It is the New England Patriots.
Patriots. That's right.
Number four. Rod Coleman led the Falcons with 10.5 sacks in 2005. Who finished second on the team with 6.5?
Patrick Kearney.
That is correct. Ooh. Last question. This 2005 undrafted free agent wound up playing 10 seasons in the NFL, including 6 with the Falcons and 4 with the division rival Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who was he?
That'd be an undrafted guy in 2005?
Yes.
That would be Chauncey Davis. No, he was. No, that's wrong. I lost it.
Can I guess?
Go ahead, Will.
Brent Grimes?
No.
No? Damn.
Michael Kanin.
Corey, was that on your mind at all or no?
No, I didn't realize he was a 2005 edition. I knew he was a punter, but just, ugh. Dang.
Valiant effort, though. 3-5. Very good job, but you got a tough draw.
Ugh.
You're better than Jay.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Yeah.
So, Will, you'll be moving on to the next round. You'll be facing the winner of me against Charles McDonald, which is going to be a very fun matchup. So, you know, here's us facing in the second round, but I'm not going to say much because it's 2006, so I got some studying to do.
If we're facing off in the second round, are you still going to be asking me my questions? I gotta get a firm answer on that right now.
No, Aaron's got that.
I will be asking all the questions.
Okay, good to know.
All the Ashley Lillio questions. Yes.
Well, again, Will, just a hint. Jonathan Babineau is probably going to be the answer to most of those questions.
It's going to be an all Jonathan Babineau 2006.
I'm just going to give you a heads up. Study up on your Jonathan Babineau's box scores and stat lines for whatever that matchup is.
Oh, hold on. I got 2006. Let me try to see what year you got. I think you got 2010.
Okay.
Because second round, you get playoff matchups now. So that's how we're doing tournaments. So second round's playoffs. Third round NFC Championship, and then you make it to the finals. You got 2016.
God, that was the atrocious Giants playoff game, right?
No, Packers.
Packers.
Which might Giants actually be worse.
2011?
Yeah, 2011 is Giants.
I was thinking the 2011. Yeah. Oh, yeah. God, that. Okay, is the first question going to be how many completions did Aaron Rodgers have?
All of the completions. That's the answer.
Wait.
Guys, man, we definitely appreciate you joining us for, you know, the second episode of this and certainly putting Jay and Gina to shame by actually, you know, doing your homework, studying and getting more than one answer correct on this. And now we will give you guys the floor to sort of plug what's coming up. I know, Will, business is getting back to usual over at AtlantaFalcons.com. Where can people sort of find you and sort of what projects are you working on, I guess, in this interesting time?
Yeah. First off, I want to say, Corey, great competing against you.
Yeah, of course, man.
You really had me scared there for a second. everybody can find my stuff at AtlantaFalcons.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Will McFadden. We actually have some interesting things in the works. Probably some more details to come, you know, sometime later this month or into next month. It should be pretty fun kind of during these dead months of football. I know people are starting to get back into the building, not necessarily our digital team. So I'm looking forward to chilling on the couch for a little bit longer. But yeah, I mean, it'll be exciting. We're hoping there's a season this year, and head over to AtlantaFalcons.com for everything you need to keep up with Falcons.
Corey, where can people find you and what are you doing now and what are you working on?
Well, you can find me at your local Sears. That would be no. You can find me at the Falcoholic every now and again. With any sort of things that pop in my head for columns there and things between then. You know, I'm just like everybody else, like Will said, hoping there is a season. You know, I think we could all use just kind of a break from staring at the wall for 3 months. And you can also follow me on Twitter at CoreyWooder47. But, you know, as everybody knows, you have to sign a waiver before you do that. So, it's a bit of a dicey proposition, but we'll take any new people we can get.
All right.
A quick question, Corey. Are you still doing any work around Nashville? Because I remember a couple years ago you were telling me about it.
Yeah, I do. I'm actually the assistant editor of a hyper-local publication in Williamson County. So it's kind of Nashville. It's kind of like a little outside of Nashville. I'm there, and then I also do some kind of contributing writing for the sister publication we're with, the Nashville Scene and Nashville Post. So, it's fun to be a member of that cluster of media because I've been in Nashville my whole life. So that's always fun. But yeah, I'm a journalist full time. So, you know, it's been an interesting time, especially I focus on sports mainly and then do editing as well. So just kind of keeping everything going when there's not a lot to keep going.
Awesome.
We, again, appreciate you guys joining us. And Will, we look forward to chatting with you again on the future episode of this Falcons Historian Shootout. And Corey, we appreciate you making things interesting and certainly look forward to chopping it up with you as this summer rolls on Twitter and other places.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. This was a lot of fun, a great idea.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a good night, guys. Stay safe.
See ya.
All right, Alan. Another one on the books.
That went well.
Yeah. All right, so there you guys have it with another episode of the Falcons Historian Shootout. We will be back next week for another episode. Alan, do you know exactly when and where? I don't know the schedule.
I'm not sure what day yet, but the targeted matchup is David Walker against Adnan Ekic. And at some point next week, we are looking at me against Charles McDonald.
All right, so that's what you guys can look forward to on next week's. What seasons are those going to be, just to remind the folks?
Yeah, 2009 with David Walker and Adnan Ekic, and 2006 with me and Chuck.
Okay.
Two kind of down years, but not – 2006 was actually kind of an embarrassing year with all the headlines, but 2009 was kind of a subdued. They actually went over 500, so.
Yeah, they broke the curse in 2009, right. So I look at it as a positive more so than a negative season.
There we go. Yeah. That matters.
So, guys, if you definitely want to tune in for the next Falcons Historian Shootout or, you know, the quote-unquote regular Locked On Falcons, which is just basically going to be scouting reports between now and then, of course, you want to subscribe to Locked On Falcons on your favorite podcast platform, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever other podcast platform you're listening to us talk right now. And of course, you can hit up Alan on Twitter at Alan_Sterk. That's Allen_Sterk. Of course, I'm on Twitter at FalFans. And if it is podcast related, whether you like the Falcons Historian Shootout or you have other suggestions for content or you hate it, whatever, you know, any type of feedback is all welcome. And you can send those into Locked On Falcons on Twitter, Locked On Falcons on Facebook, and as well as the email address of LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. And I know for all you guys out there that are sending me emails about the fan talks, I am seeing that. I just, because this and the scouting reports, I'm trying to get some other stuff done before then. So I will respond to you guys at some point. We will get back into the style of fan talks, but you can send in those emails now if you want to sort of reserve your place for future fan talks on Locked On Falcons. So appreciate you guys joining in. Any other last thoughts you have, Alan, before we duck out?
Not at all.
All right. Until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right. Well, we know Will has won this, but let's see, you know, if you can at least see if you can get these next two correct.
No, what are you talking about?
You're right.
Ryan Coyle, unbelievable.
I blacked out when Will got the first couple right, and I just completely forgot that he missed a couple. All right.